Today on Real Radio.
Before there was ever time, before there was ever a material universe, there's been eternity. It's where God lives. Man. And where he lives, the sun doesn't rise and it doesn't set. It always is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a series of passages that are by far among the most discussed, debated, and even misunderstood in church history. The section of chapter 11, which is the basis for our study today, it's where Paul deals with the issues like hair length for men and women and husbands being the head of the home. It's a riveting section of Scripture indeed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Authority, Submission, and Love.
Look, I could not disagree more. And I have not disagreed more in my lifetime than with this president. But let me tell you something. He's the president. We honor, as Americans, the office. Okay? If he walked into this room right now, I would pay him honor because of the office. I may not like his policies or his beliefs, but I will honor his office. And you might say, well, I don't like my husband's actions, and he picks his nose, and his feet stink. And hey, listen. The truth is, God has appointed him husband. You say, no, I'm the one who married him. I'm the one who picked him. Listen, God was in all of that. And maybe God was saying you should have prayed harder before you picked him. I don't know. But okay, I'm just poking fun now. But that verse goes on in Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit. The word is willingly desire to submit to your own husbands. As to the Lord, because God wants you to willingly, lovingly submit to him. For the husband is head of the wife, and also as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Listen, guys, husbands, are you not supposed to be the savior of the body of your home? Absolutely. It's interesting, remember this, in marriage, you and I love looking out on a dark, dark night, a full moon. It's brilliant. We love it. Where I live, it's pretty dark. In my backyard, it's really dark. And when the moon is out in its full strength, there's great shadows across my yard. Why? Because the moon is so bright. Why is the moon so bright? It's full. But why does it shine? It's reflecting the sun. Number one, as a Christian man, as a Christian period, male or female, we should be reflecting the glory of the Lord. Amen. Now listen, guys, hang on to your seats. Your wife, my wife, reflects publicly how I shine on her. If I'm shining on her, appreciation, love, thanksgiving, compliments. Let me tell you something. She starts to reflect it. And she starts to glow. And a woman like that, well, you know what? You can read about her. She's in Proverbs 31. You can't stop her. She's an animal. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's so excited. She's so encouraged about life. That woman gets up early in the morning before the sun comes up, the Bible says. And she works all day long. She's got her own business. Read Proverbs 31. It's awesome. She's got her own business. She's making money on the side. She's clothing her kids. She's blessing her husband. She's got her friends. It's an amazing life. You read Proverbs 31, it's like, man, that's awesome. Why is she able to do that? Because the Bible says that her husband blesses her. And all of us reflect to some degree where our faith is founded and the one that we're living for. The Bible tells us that husbands ought to give themselves as Christ gave himself for the church. A woman in the context of marriage, tragically also in culture, which we don't see today, we rarely see in marriage, A woman, I'm not kidding you guys, the meaning of this word is a woman should delight in submitting to the leadership of her husband because she knows that that man prays. Because you might be here today saying, man, I wish my wife submitted to me like that. Hey, listen, give her someone to submit to. Give her a reason. Guys, listen. Let her catch you praying. Let her find you reading the Word of God. Let her experience the fact that you say to her, honey, it's Saturday morning, get out of bed. We're going to go down to First Baptist Church of Pomona in Wachino Hills, and we're going to feed the homeless today. Come on, let's go. You say, what? Let's go, come on. Let me tell you something. This is a funny thing. I'm clearly not going to get through my notes today. But this is God. God's doing something here right now. Okay, listen. What's going on is this. Is that if a man doesn't lead humbly in response to God in the fear of the Lord, if he doesn't lead, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that because of the fall, that a woman will seek to have control over the man. Did you know it says that? It says that Eve will seek to dominate Adam. It says it in Genesis. What is that? When a man doesn't lead, a woman will. Yeah, I can prove it. When a man is silent at home and not a spiritual leader, the wife takes control of the kids and the wife leads the home. And listen, when she's not with you, mister, she'll tell her friends or her pastor, I wish my husband would lead. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I was not built for this. Women, in most cases, are longing for the man to lead. He's to lead them out in victory. Who is? The man. To lead them out. And when a man leads, as a Christian, an amazing thing happens regarding the submission of the woman. She wipes her brow, so to speak, and goes, whew, praise God. I'm free. How are you free? He's praying for this family. He's disciplining the kids. He's encouraging the kids. He's leading the kids in prayer. He's leading the kids in understanding their world. And we'll see, well, man, well, if I do all that, Pastor, what is she going to do? Watch, listen, watch and see what she does. Look, ladies, please don't be upset when I tell you this. I'm not, if you think this wrong, you took it wrong. When a woman is led by a loving man, those things that our culture mocks regarding, what do they say, domestic things, the woman begins to love. And I'm not putting women down. God knows, I can barely scramble an egg, or I cannot make a cake. Say, what are you saying? What a sexist, macho step. No. Listen. Look, I have no problem going to battle and shooting somebody or cutting off their head in war. No problem. I mean, I'm a guy. That's what we do. We're warriors like that. God made us a warrior. You say, Pastor, are you allowed to say that? I just said it. It's true. And a woman by nature, she's most fulfilled, not when she's cutting off heads and killing dragons. Okay, that's not normal. She doesn't want to do that. You know what she wants to do? She gets incredible internal fulfillment when she's taking care of the kids and when watching them raise and grow and do this and teaching him and her how to do that. She loves it. There's a sense, and I don't get it. I'm thinking, well, that's great, sweetheart. I don't get it. Let me teach them how to cut off dragons' heads. And that's the difference. There's nothing macho or cynical about that in any way. We are different. But we've been created by God in the image of God to bring glory to God. And this is something that's not talked about enough in our world, that there is a liberty to submission for a woman unto the husband of her life, just as there's liberty and submission for a man to be subject to Christ. But God has ordained that a man will answer for the family in the end. I didn't make it up, and you might say, well, I don't like God because of that. Listen, you're not starting off on the right foot if that's your attitude. He knows what he's doing. Let's be honest. Those of you who've worked in the corporate world or had a one-man, one-woman business, you know it works best when there is that figurehead. Now, the corporation I came from, the figurehead sat in the corner office and made millions of dollars a year, and that's what he was supposed to do. And wherever he was at in the world speaking, that was our representative, and he made policy for the corporation. Well, I understand that, but let me tell you something. He was the front man. He represented the company. But him, when he wanted to know regarding a certain area of that company, believe me, he didn't know it, and he wasn't embarrassed by it. He came and said, how do we do this? I'm going to go to Canada and speak at a forum next week, and I want to know, tell me right now. And he's asking me, a little tiny guy, when he says, how do we do this regarding this particular test? How do we get that result? This is the way it happens, and this is how we get the result. He said, thank you very much. I knew more about him regarding that thing, but in the end, he spoke before the world and caused our stock to rise in the world. Are you with me? That is a family or a company. That is a church. You guys make me look so good, and I'm not joking. Your Christian faithfulness and obedience to God is so amazing that people speak all over this country regarding what you are doing to affect your culture. Most of it, many of you, because this, I'm just making this up right now. If we were to segregate, I could say today, this group right here is responsible for establishing the Southern California region for Snowboarders for Christ based in New Zealand. You guys, Calvary Chino's right here, you guys took care and supported that ministry getting started at Lake Arrowhead. First one on the West Coast. You did that. Did you know that? Anybody know that? You didn't know that. You guys over here, you have no idea that you're responsible for millions of people every day hearing the gospel by the radio broadcasts that go out just across the United States. I'm not talking about internationally. Just right here. This group right here, and I could go on and on and on. Each of you having authority and submission and life in its own context, who's exalted? Jesus Christ. People are saved. People are strengthened in Christ. People are experiencing deliverance of pain or suffering or poverty or whatever. It's amazing that collectively this church has established benefits for water and for comfort, for showers and bathrooms for those who couldn't afford it in northern Israel. Did you know that? In the day of judgment, you'll be able to stand before God and God's going to say, well, let's see, by your giving and support to that ministry you're involved in, to that church, this is what you did. And you're going to say, I did? Church, listen, I got to tell you something. I don't know how to make, I'll do anything right now to make you believe what I'm telling you is true. I take that so seriously. I revel. I am excited. I can't wait to stand before God in the end and be able to say, Lord, you were there, Father. You saw what happened. We took that $10 bill that that person gave. I take this very seriously. They gave 10 bucks, and Father, we invested it into your kingdom. We fed the homeless, or we transferred the word of God out beyond our walls, and that person's worshipful tithe was multiplied 20, 30, 50, 100, 60-fold. So you're going to stand in judgment going, wait a minute, I'm responsible for what? God's going to say, you got the word of God out to the entire North Africa above the equatorial line north. You got the word of God to all the Africans. You're going to say, I did? And he's going to say, yeah. What do you think of that? Praise the Lord, Lord. Is that fun? I think that's exciting, man. I love that. And it's exciting. It's liberating. The Bible tells us, thirdly, verses 4-7, and we won't finish this portion. It's too lengthy, but it starts this way. It's the authority, right? It's the submission, the authority that God has appointed to a man and all of mankind, the submission regarding the life and the purpose of a woman. We'll hear much more about that next week. But thirdly, love. Verses 4-7, love and the life and purpose of Jesus Christ. He is our example. Out of all the people in all of the world, it's Jesus whom you are to mimic. We learned that last week when Paul the Apostle said in verse 1, mimic me as I mimic Christ. Follow him. The head, it says, of Christ is God. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, we may not get any further than what I'm about to say. The head of Christ is God. The head of Christ, his mission. Christ is a title. His name is not Jesus Christ. You understand that? That's not his last name. His name is Yeshua. Jesus. Yeshua, our Savior. He's the Savior. His mission is Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach. Christ in Greek, Messiah in Hebrew. Okay? That's his mission. Jesus, listen, I love this. Jesus willingly, it was his delight that we you and I cannot understand this. We just have to receive it and take it by faith. The Bible teaches us that in eternity, before the physical universe was ever created, those of you who have had the most basic physics, you know, you were taught from the beginning that there is no such thing as time without physical property. Time itself is a physical property. Light is a physical property. It's hard for us to grasp. Before there was ever time, before there was ever a material universe, there's been eternity. It's where God lives. Man. And where he lives, the sun doesn't rise and it doesn't set. It always is. That's why the Bible says, it is he who was, who is to come. That is God's way of trying to tell a human being, I've never had a beginning, I will never have an end, because those are goofball terms along a goofball temporary line that I, God, have invaded into your life to tell you that there's more than news, weather, and sports. There is eternity on the other side. And so in eternity, in the counsel of God, it was happy for Jesus. It was glad. And he was glad. I don't get it. He was glad in his infinite wisdom and understanding to be able to say, I will willingly, happily, gladly, at a point in human time, on that finite line of chronology, I will go to them. Them, they who have never yet had an existence, but in his eternal mind sees all things. In creation, God knew Adam was going to fall. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 says so. You say, well, then why do you let it go? Because there would never be true relationship, true love, true worship without choice. You see, When someone submits out of love and true expression, it's not tyranny. It cannot be. It cannot be forced submission. That's impossible. My submission to you means nothing to you if someone has to put a gun to my head or a sword to my throat and say, submit. And I go through all the motions of submission and my heart's not in it. It is insanity. But when the Lord says, I give you opportunity to submit to me, would you like to do that? Well, who are you? I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord your God, Moses. I'm the Lord your God, Abraham. I remember nearly 35 years ago when the Lord said, I am the Lord, Jack, of heaven and earth. Will you follow me? He was looking for my response to be, Lord, I think I love you. I've been reading about you. And immediately I was convinced and convicted of your grandeur and of your glory. And so I've come to you. That's your first step of relationship, is that that's called salvation. From that moment on, you begin to know him. Yes. Just like you know anybody else. You meet someone for the first time. Now you got their name. It's the rest of your life you get to learn about their nature, their character, and their person. I don't know about you guys, this turns me on galore.
Amen.
Because as I read about him, I'm not going to let other people tell me about him. Mm-mm. No, I want to know him. I want to experience it myself. The more you do that, the more you realize, Lord, this issue of authority and submission and love, it doesn't matter to me. I just comply willingly. Lord, what else do you want to do? It's absolute life and purpose. And Jesus says, I'm going to go to them. And when I do, I will invade time. And when I do that, I will become a human. And through that humanity that I will adopt, I will undo everything that their mom and dad did in the Garden of Eden, what broke, I will redeem and fix and reestablish. It has to be me, because every human being is tainted, is broken. And you can't take that which is broken and try to use it to fix something that's broken. You don't have poison water and give to someone with hopes that they'll do better. The water's poisoned. You need fresh water. You need living water. And so the Lord communicates to us, I'll do this because only God can. But in redemption of them, in resurrection for them, I must die, pay the debt that they could never pay because they don't have enough money, just like the United States of America cannot pay its bills. Mankind cannot pay their bills. And so God steps in and says, I'll pay it. I'll pay it to have you with me forever. I want to get you back into eternity where I'm at. I'm nuts about you. And you say, Pastor, not me. I'm a stubborn, bitter, broken man. No, he's nuts about you. Maybe you're here today saying, I'm a loose, promiscuous, naughty girl, and I've been a... No, he's nuts about you. You understand something? You are not the sin that you've committed. I am not the sin that I've committed. Yes. Have I sinned? Yes. Am I a sinner? Yes. But I am not the personification of sin. I am the personification of a human being created in the image of God. Listen, until Christ came into my life, I was lost. I was heading for an eternal destination, isolated from God, until he stepped into my life. And then all of a sudden, his authority, submission, and love became the way that I want to live my life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of this study, Authority, Submission, and Love. It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at one of the most discussed, debated, and even most misunderstood passages in church history. Authority, Submission, and Love. That's the title of this series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, by the way, we'd like to remind you about Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our television program that airs at hischannel.com. Watch that if you get a chance. It's real good. Plus, on Wednesday evenings, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. It's a live broadcast of the service at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. In fact, we've got a link to hischannel.com at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.